Please be seated. Often at the Sunday Eucharist, we read from the prophet Isaiah. And not about you, but I regularly find these passages to be both familiar, but also beautiful. They regularly offer these beautiful words of hope, statements of God's faithfulness. And I think that's true in our lesson today that opens the 56th chapter of Isaiah. This is a time when the exiles are returning to their land after they've been conquered and displaced. And to those who are returning, Isaiah offers words of comfort and of hope. But there is, behind these words, a very large question. Now that they are returning, who are the people of God? Those who return from exile in Babylon in the 5th century BCE find that their land is very different. There are other people living there. There are even some people living in their homes. Their homeland now is a mix of cultures, of religions. It's not a well-ordered place. The economy is a mess. And experiencing all this, the people are wondering, so who belongs here? How can these diverse people live together? How will there be justice for all people? Isaiah then proclaims God's word, a word that calls the people to be an inclusive people. To be a place where belonging is not about genetics or culture, not even about religion, but is based on welcoming behavior. How God invites all people into covenant, into a way of life. In the passage, God calls on the people to maintain justice and to do right. Just as God has been immeasurably generous in restoring the people to their land, in turn, the people are being called to be generous to others, especially those they might call outsiders. The covenant with God calls them to keep the Sabbath, that is, honoring God, and also to live by justice. Isaiah says, "Do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." God is gathering the outcasts and calling God's people to welcome everyone to God's holy mountain. And the people are to be joyful, for God's house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. God is asking the people to expand their understanding of what it is to welcome, to be inclusive, to broaden their understanding of who belongs. And it's that call to expand who belongs, is at the heart of today's gospel. It centers on this exchange between a Canaanite woman and Jesus. The Canaanites were a people who were despised by the Jewish people. They are people who originally inhabited the land that comes to be the Promised Land. And so because of that, there is mutual contempt between the two groups. By mutual historical consent, the Canaanite woman and Jesus should not associate with one another. She should not talk to him. And initially, Jesus doesn't interact with her, reflecting that contemporary practice, but the woman has the courage to speak to him. She has a daughter who is ill, and she believes Jesus can heal her daughter. She thinks Jesus can do what she needs him to do. And so she dares to call out to Jesus. And as you heard, it makes the disciples uncomfortable. Make her stop. When Jesus does eventually acknowledge the woman and speaks to her, I don't see how we can say anything other than he sounds rude. He appears to be calling her a dog, which is an insult always, but especially in that time. And it's interesting, Matthew doesn't pretty that up. He doesn't explain that away. He doesn't hide that alienation, those feelings of contempt. And that makes the woman's behavior all the more remarkable. It shows the deep care she has for her daughter, her deep faith in Jesus, that allow her to go against the practices of her society. She can acknowledge Jesus as Lord and ask him for help. Jesus himself moves away from the conventions of his day, first ignoring the woman, then seeming to insult her, and finally recognizing her deep faith and granting her request so that her daughter is healed instantly. I think what Matthew is doing in this passage is setting up this contrast between the Canaanite woman and what comes before it, the Pharisees. The woman is the one, she's the outsider, but she is the one who recognizes who Jesus is. She believes he has the ability, the power to heal her daughter. She has strong faith in Jesus. And she even cries out that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah. The Pharisees and scribes, as you see in the first part of our gospel, don't do that. They criticize Jesus. They don't recognize who he is. They're suspicious of him, and they just reject him. And so we have this contrast in the gospels, in the gospel today. And that opening shows us how the religious leaders are more concerned with how Jesus' disciples practice their faith. Do they wash their hands before eating or don't they? Now, I don't want to belittle this. For the Pharisees, this is an important matter. It is their understanding of how they faithfully follow God. Jesus, however, is not so concerned with that. And he actually accuses them of being the blind, leading the blind, and they'll all fall into a pit. Jesus does not put such importance on ritual hand washing as much as he does on the content of a person's heart and their words. It's what comes out of our mouth that defiles us, not what goes in. It is from our hearts and then out through our mouths that come words that can wound, that can hurt others, that communicate hatred, untruths, that can even cause division and strife and alienation. Now, perhaps we're tempted to think about this debate about ritual washing and dietary laws as a matter for the first century, a debate between Jesus and the Pharisees we hear throughout the Gospels. But I would suggest that it's actually an important conversation for us. The church, throughout time, right up into the present, can forget the larger call of God to walk in holiness. The church can also insist on practices that exclude and divide. And I think we have only to look at the history of our own Episcopal Church, especially the treatment of black and brown people. In our own diocese, we have only to look how this diocese benefited unquestionably from the international slave trade, how some of our parish churches were built with money from that trade, or how in the 1960s this diocese was silent when homes and churches of black families were being taken by the city for urban renewal at University Heights, and people lost their homes, their churches, and were displaced. Or how the Episcopal Church only first ordained women 49 years ago this July, after decades of fighting about it. Or the ordination of the first woman as bishop in 1989, and I was there and remember it well, Barbara Harris, the Diocese of Massachusetts, and the uproar about her election and ordination and the death threats against her. And then, of course, the exclusion of LGBTQ folks from the life of the church, or more in this era especially, those who understand gender is broader and more complex than simply being male, female, but it's broader, it's more complex, richer, But abandoning that binary and trying to push out of that means exclusion in the name of Scripture and even by the practices of the church. And so I wonder if we can't dismiss the Pharisees of long ago, because we sometimes also miss God's call. We too can limit the broad inclusion of God. Just like the people of Isaiah's time, God too calls us to broaden our thinking, to expand our understanding of who is welcome, to speak words of hospitality, of affirmation to all people, to be filled with the broad, inclusive love of God. And so today's readings remind us that we are called to practice the love of God, to show love to others just as God loves us, to bear one another's burdens, to give our lives over in service to others, to not make peace with oppression, but to fight injustice, to do, as Isaiah says, the right thing. And so Jesus calls us to broaden our welcome to the foreigner, the stranger, the outcast, to offer comfort and protection to the vulnerable and those in danger, to cast aside society's notions and assumptions of who is welcome and who is not, and instead to welcome all people in the name of Christ. And so there is much work to be done. The fate of our nation, of our world, requires our renewed commitment to living true lives of holiness. Isaiah calls us to maintain justice. We are to counter the hateful words and deeds with God's love. We are to oppose systemic institutional oppression and to work for the liberation and justice of all people, to pray for those who espouse evil, those who oppose us, who are different from us, and to pray for those who are oppressed and persecuted. And we are, I think, to pray for ourselves. Hatred can dwell in the human heart, and we are to pray that we are healed of that, and that our mouths are never defiled with hateful words, our hands with hateful actions, but instead to pray and to work tirelessly for the reconciliation of all people, so our divisions are healed and unity overcomes estrangement. As I reflected on these readings this week, some questions have come to mind. Questions that make me wonder, who are the people that God calls us now, today, to invite and to welcome? Where are our own blind spots that prevent us from seeing who God invites to God's holy mountain? How is God calling you and me to expand our vision and to broaden our practices so that all may be welcomed? And as the Canaanite woman did, I wonder, what do we ask of Jesus? How can Jesus heal us? God desires that all people live together in harmony, that all are welcome on God's holy mountain, that it is a house of prayer for all people. May God's desire come to pass. May we witness to the broad, inclusive love of God in the face of the world's hatred and violence and oppression. And may all people come to know Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior who leads everyone to be healed and restored. Amen.